Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Blog Talk Radio, you're listening to The Best Hour with your host Tony Williamson and the Mighty Companions. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/Course Mastery, or just search for us at Blog Talk Radio, The Best Hour. Each day during The Best Hour broadcast, we journey into a better understanding of A Course in Miracles. With over 2 million copies in print, this beautiful scripture, first published in 1975, has been translated into many languages worldwide. If you want to talk with our host during the broadcast today, just dial 347-324-5114, 347-324-5114. And now, here's your host for The Best Hour, Tony Williamson.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters. This is your host, Tony Williamson. Glad to be back on the air with you. It's been 3 weeks since our last broadcast. I really believed that I could continue to stay on the air for that transitional period, but it was a little overwhelming, to be honest with you. I felt like I wasn't serving you well to continue to broadcast when I didn't really have and couldn't give you my full attention. So I appreciate your patience with me, and thank you for being here. I know that many of you have listened to my last broadcast a few times, and I really, really am honored that you stay plugged in and you continue to participate. And I'm glad to be back on the air. During that period of time, we made a move a couple hundred miles away from where we were, and we are beginning now to establish ourselves in the local community. I've been doing some course gatherings, and I've also been doing some public speaking. And also during this last three-week period, we took 8 days out of that to go to Central America. We went down to Panama, the country of Panama, and we were looking maybe different intentions, but part of it was to see, was there a place there where we might want to build a retreat of some sort. And we were looking for opportunity as well. But it turned out to be a remarkable experience for myself and my beautiful, beloved, Reverend Claudia Tambor. We had a remarkable experience. And it's really, I will share with you, very difficult for the ego to be in a place where nobody speaks your language. Well, I mean, you do. There are people that do, but, you got to seek them out. And everything you read, everything you see, all the signposts, you're driving down the road, you can't really understand the language. If you don't know the language, you can't read the signs and so forth. And it really was quite challenging, and it really put my ego back on its heels, if you will, and it was a fantastic opportunity in mind training and mind watching. And I will continue, I'm sure, to benefit from that experience for quite some time. But that's kind of where we've been. I want to wrap up the show today in about a half an hour, so I wanted to just kind of jump right in. We are working with Lesson 153, and I know we've been reading the textbook, but today I just want to get back in the swing of things and work through this workbook lesson with you over the next 25 minutes or so. We'll wrap up here about the bottom of the hour. This lesson 153, and I really hope you've been working through the lessons and working with the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit? Well, it's nothing more than your right mind. It's that part of your mind that knows exactly what we're doing to ourselves. And yes, we're doing it to ourselves. Make no mistake about it. There's no doubt about it. We are doing this to ourselves. That is, we are convincing ourselves of a reality that does not exist in reality, okay? We're making it and doing everything we can to make it real, and what we believe and our thoughts are projected outward onto the screen of our mind, literally not unfamiliar to you. You do it every night in your sleep, and you wake up and dismiss it all. But yet we don't believe it's possible for us to be doing it other than when we're sleeping. Well, wake up, my friends. You're still sleeping, okay? That's what we're doing. We're literally projecting out our thoughts and our beliefs and our own ideas of what God is being onto the screen of our mind, and it's playing it back, validating our thoughts, validating and witnessing to us what we believe, our perception. So what we're about in A Course in Miracles is learning. And what a wonderful thing, right? Learning is will never cease, thank goodness. We will always be experiencing the movement of the mind of God, thank goodness. And it's a wonderful thing, right? But what our present moment is colored by our past learning. So our perception, if you will, is defined, if not colored, being a better word, but by our past perception. So I want to share with you guys that that it's really important that we understand all of this because it's the foundation of where we're going as we learn about A Course in Miracles. One second, my friends, one second. I'm sorry, there's a delivery man at the front door. Okay, we're getting adjusted to our new lifestyle here. Okay, so anyway, this discovery then of ourselves in this situation where we're literally manifesting our experience, it's important to recognize that we are learning continuously and that the present moment and our perception of the present moment and how we react to our perception of the present moment will determine, if you will, and color the future, okay? But the present moment is not defined by our perception of it, except for ourselves. In other words, we're giving it all the meaning that it has. The present moment is defined by God. The meaning of the present moment that we're experiencing right now is defined by God. But if we're not listening, that is, if we're busy determining what it is for ourselves, then we're missing out on the true meaning of the present moment. And the only way we're going to get there is to quit defining it ourselves. That is, to turn away from our small-minded ideas, and trust me, that our small mind really is a small mind. This ego mind is so completely inadequate of really understanding anything. That's why it's always wrong. But then we turn away from this mind and we turn to the voice for God. The guide, the capital G guide, the capital T teacher, that is the Holy Spirit, which is, of course, nothing more than your right mind. And we simply ask now, what is the truth here? And in this, we begin to know, that is, to begin a new perception, to begin to understand what God is being in this moment. And this is our continuous practice. This is the holy instant as defined in the Course in Miracles. And now this lesson is going to be talking about defenselessness and that our safety lies within this defense. But the ego, our small mind itself, would continuously tell us that we need to get and gather and protect ourselves from the world, period, period, period. That's what we need to be doing. That's what we should be doing. That's what we're doing. That's our whole function. We have to protect the body. We have to protect ourselves from other bodies, the environment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? But here's this wild idea now that's being given us here in this workbook lesson 153 today that simply says, my defenselessness, okay, in my defenselessness, my safety lies. So let's jump in. You, or I, if you will, me, you who feel threatened by this changing world, its twist of fortune and its bitter jest, its brief relationships and all of the quote-unquote gifts, it merely leads to take away again, it lends gifts to you, physical things, world things in the world of form that we all know are temporary, that it merely lends to take away again. Attend this lesson very well. The world provides no safety. The world provides no safety. It is rooted in attack, and all of its quote-unquote gifts of seeming safety are illusory deception. It attacks, and then it attacks, and then attacks again. No peace of mind is possible where danger threatens thus. And I will share with you here and interject here in this lesson that go drop yourself off into a foreign land where you don't speak the language and nobody there speaks the language that you speak. And I promise you, you will feel insecure because we have created this definition of mutually agreed upon definitions of how we want to live and where our comfort levels are. And we say, oh, I'm not afraid of anything. Well, go drop yourself off in a foreign country. We didn't go that far away. I mean, literally, only about a four-hour plane ride, all things considered, and completely different world. And in that world, we experienced little elements of fear and then fear, and then, but then we began to recognize that we were able to overcome that by not being too attached to it, and that we were safe, and that we were resting in the arms of God. But the world itself presents that we constantly must be on the defensive. And there's been no better example for me, I don't think, ever in my life than to just go to a foreign country and get out there and drive out there in the country land, in the country itself, on your own. It's quite unsettling of the ego mind. The world gives rise but to defensiveness. For threats brings anger. For threat brings anger. Anger makes attack seem reasonable, honestly provoked, and righteous in the name of self-defense. Yet is defensiveness a double threat. Yet is defensiveness a double threat. For it attests to weakness, and it sets up a system of defense that cannot work. Now are the weak still further undermined. For there is treachery without and still a greater treachery within. The mind is now confused and knows not where to turn to find escape from its imaginings. There were nights when we were on the road last week where we just couldn't even hardly go to sleep because we really were in such a strange land. And we think we've got it all figured out where we're, you know, when we are in our home and our comfort and our community and we know the people in our neighborhood and we know the people in, you know, we feel a sense of comfort and we can sleep easily and eat and well, but it's just a mask. It's just a temporary facade. It really is. It's a mutually agreed upon definition that we've created. All of it's been based out of defensiveness. All of it's been based out of fear. And getting other people to agree with what we believe is acceptable helps us to get settled into a false sense of safety. But he's telling you right here, and he's telling you right now in this lesson, defensiveness is a double threat. The world always presenting itself with no safety. The world provides no safety. The mind is confused, and how could it not be, and knows not where to turn to find escape from its imaginings. And we're talking about the small mind here, okay, the small self, the ego mind. If we are in the ego mind, in some of our earlier discussions last month, we talked about there's no such thing as neutral, right? You're either in ego mind or you're in, if you will, one with, that is, accepting the mind of Christ, the vision of the Holy Spirit, nothing more than your right mind, as yourself. You're in that mind. You're in that state of mind. And state of mind is the ground, if you will, from which we experience everything. You want to experience heaven, it's a change in your state of mind. You want to experience safety and security. It's a change in your state of mind. It's not about building a wall around yourself. It's not about being in exactly the right community or knowing exactly that you are surrounded by people in your neighborhood who are like-minded. All of these ideas about safety that the ego has constructed is illusion. Make no mistake about it. We just read a minute ago. It lends these gifts to you, and it lends them to you merely to take them away. And when we begin to recognize that, that's why this lesson is so important. In my defenselessness, my safety lies. It is as if a circle held it fast, my safety, if you will, wherein another circle bound it, and another one in that, until escape no longer can be hoped for nor obtained. I'm literally imprisoned by my idea of safety. I build a wall around myself to protect myself, and what have I done? I have imprisoned myself. Attack, defend. Defense, attack. Become the circles of the hours and the days that bind the mind to heavy bands of steel with iron overlaid, returning but to start again. There seems to be no break nor ending in the ever-tightening grip of the imprisonment upon the mind. As we traveled through this foreign land last week, we saw building after building after building after building, house after house after house, with steel bars on their windows, with gates around their house, concrete construction and steel cabling and steel bars, because they wanted to feel protected from their neighbors. Why? Because their neighbors were given to petty theft, thievery. They were given to dishonesty. They were given to fear. It's all coming out of fear. And this was such a stark experience for me to be in this place and see fear operating on such a massive level, at the local level, within the small rural communities. And then in other places you would go, and the people who appeared to have absolutely nothing, I mean literally no windows, no doors. This is a tropical environment. And at most, you really need to protect yourself from the rain, I imagine. But the temperatures, no heat and no air is really absolutely necessary for your survival. And the people who live there, by our standards, would be impoverished. Well, they didn't have anything to lose, so they didn't have anything to fear, if you will. So they didn't bar their doors and windows. But people with any kind of prosperity, they were imprisoned within their own safety net that they had constructed. This workbook lesson is really speaking to that. Defenses are the costliest of all the prices which the ego would exact. In them lies madness in a form so grim that hope of sanity seems but to be an idle dream. Beyond the possible. The sense of threat the world encourages is so much deeper, and so far beyond the frenzy and intensity of what you can conceive that you have no idea of all of the devastation that it has wrought. You are its slave. You know not what to do in fear of it. You do not understand how much you have been made to sacrifice. You who feel its iron grip upon your heart. And there were times last week when I promise you, I felt this iron grip of fear upon my heart. And then I began to sense a feeling. And we've been really talking about feelings a lot this year, and this has become so important to me now, to be in touch with the feeling. And I would literally could feel when I made a wrong turn, you know, because I couldn't read the signs and the directions were sparse and sketchy at best. And sometimes major turns and major, you know, important routes would be bypassed, you know, because I just wasn't, and almost immediately I could feel it and know that inner voice as I'm driving was saying, you know, you should have made that turn back there. And then there were other times when I could feel this grip really, of fear. You know, at one point we had missed a turn and we were headed towards a, we had no idea where we were headed, out into the jungle area of a tropical land with no idea, and the gas gauge is sitting almost on empty. And now we're just looking for exit because this particular road was almost like the interstate and you couldn't turn around. And there was no way to turn around, and there was no exit. And so now, you know, and so now that grip of fear, you know, embraced me, if you will. The iron grip of fear. And it's so real. And it can appear to be so real, right? But it's always knowing everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Turning to that voice. Defenses are the costliest of all prices which the ego would exact. It's really amazing. You do not understand how much you have been made to sacrifice, you who feel its iron grip upon your heart. You do not realize what you have done to sabotage the holy peace of God by your defensiveness. And yes, my peace of mind was absolutely disturbed. For you behold the Son of God as but a victim to attack, but fantasies, by dreams, and by illusions, He has made, yet helpless in their presence, needful only of defense by still more fantasies, the dreams by which illusions of his safety comfort him. Defenselessness is strength. It testifies to recognition of the Christ in you. Perhaps you will recall the text maintains that choice is always made between Christ's strength and your own weakness, seen apart from him, that is, apart from God. Or apart from your Christ consciousness, if you will, the Holy Spirit, nothing more than your right mind. Defenselessness can never be attacked because it recognizes strength so great, attack is a joke, it's folly, or a silly game a tired little child might play when he becomes too sleepy to remember what he wants. Defenselessness is weakness. It proclaims you have denied the Christ and come to fear his Father's anger. What can save you now from your delusion of an angry God whose fearful image you believe you set at work in all the evils of the world? What illusions could defend you now when it is but the illusions, it's just only illusions that you fight? We will not play such childish games today, for our true purpose is to save the world, and we would not exchange for foolishness the endless joy our function offers us. We would not let our happiness slip by because a fragment of senseless dream happened to cross our minds, and we mistook the figures in it for the Son of God, its tiny instant for eternity. We look past dreams today and recognize that we need no defense because we are created unassailable without all thought or wish or dream in which the attack has any meaning. Now we cannot fear, for we have left all fearful thoughts behind. And in defenselessness, we stand secure, serenely certain of our safety now, sure of salvation, sure we fulfill our chosen purpose as our ministry extends its holy blessing throughout the world. Our ministry, remember, our function of sharing the truth with our brothers and sisters is not about being a good person. Yes, you are a good person, you are Christ. So of course you're a good person. But your ministry is not about being a good person. Your ministry, our ministry, my brothers and sisters, is to share the truth with the world because they're caught up in a game of insanity. This thought came to me this morning and I want to share it with you before the bottom of the hour here. We've only got a few more minutes, and that is simply that if you went and visited someone in the hospital and they're in a coma, do they know they're in a coma? Well, no. Our brothers and sisters don't know, as we did not, and we still are succumbing to the intoxication of the dream. There's no doubt about it, or at least from my experience, there's no doubt about it. But at this point, there has been a shift in a state of mind. And my ministry, because the teacher is the learner, is to teach the truth so that I can learn the truth. we will not play such childish games today. We look past dreams today and recognize that we need no defense because we are created unassailable. Be still a moment then today, and in silence, think how holy is your purpose, how secure you rest, untouchable within its light. God's ministers have chosen that the truth be with them. Who is holier than they? Who could be sure than his happiness is fully guaranteed? And who could be more mightily protected? What defense could possibly be needed by the ones who are among the chosen ones of God by his election and their own as well? It is the function of God's ministers to help their brothers choose as they have done. God has elected all, but few have come to realize his will is but their own. And while you fail to teach what you've learned, salvation waits and darkness holds the world in grim imprisonment. Nor will you learn that light has come to you and your escape has been accomplished, for you will not see the light until you offer it to your brothers and sisters, to all of your brothers. As they take it from your hands, so will you recognize it as your own. Salvation can be thought of as a game that happy children play. It was designed by one who loves his children and who would replace their fearful toys with joyous games, which teach them that the game of fear is gone. The game instructs in happiness because there is no loser. Everyone who plays must win. And in his winning is the gain to everyone insured. The game of fear is gladly laid aside when children come to see the benefits salvation brings. You who have played that you are lost to hope, abandoned by your father, left alone in terror in a fearful world, made mad by sin and guilt, be happy now. The game is over. That game is over. Now a quiet time has come in which we put away the toys of guilt and lock our quaint and childish thoughts of sin forever from the pure and holy minds of heaven's children and the Son of God. We pause but a moment more now to play our final happy game upon this earth, and then we go to take our rightful place where truth abides and games are meaningless. So is the story ended. Let this day bring the last chapter closer to the world, that everyone may learn the tale he reads of terrifying destiny, defeat of all his hopes, his pitiful defense against a vengeance he cannot escape is but his own deluded fantasy. God's ministers have come to awaken him from the dark dreams this story has evoked in his confused, bewildered memory of this distorted tale. God's son can smile at last on learning that it is not true. Today we practice in a form that we will maintain for quite a while. We will begin each day by giving our attention to the daily thought as long as possible. 5 minutes now becomes the least that we give to preparation for a day in which salvation is the only goal we have. 10 would be better, 15 better still. And as distraction ceases to arise to turn us from our purpose, we will find that half an hour is too short a time to spend with God, nor will we willingly give less at night. Gratitude and joy. Each hour adds to our increasing peace as we remember to be faithful to the will we share with God. At times, perhaps a minute, even less, will be more than we can offer as the hour strikes, but sometimes we will forget. At other times, the business of the world will close in on us and we'll be unable to withdraw even a little while and turn our thoughts to God. Yet, when we can, our trust as ministers of God in hourly remembrance of our mission and his love, and we will quietly sit by and wait on him and listen to his voice and learn what he would have us do the hour that is yet to come, while thanking him for all the gifts we gave, us and the one gone by. Well, I set up our timer today, my friends, for 30 minutes, thinking we could get through this lesson. There are three more paragraphs. I share that with you, that you will finish reading the last three paragraphs. This has been a wonderful lesson for me personally. It's so thrilling to be back on the air with you, my friends. And so I'm looking forward to being with you again tomorrow morning for the best hour. Thank you.
Hello again, dearly beloved and mighty companions. This is your host, Tony Williamson, saying once again, thanks so much for joining us on today's episode of The Best Hour. If you'd like to reach me directly,